Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, on today's program, we continue our study of the sixth feast of the seven feasts of the Lord given to Israel in Leviticus 23. And that would be the feast of Yom Kippur. As we had mentioned before, Yom Kippur again is a sixth feast in Israel's liturgical and festival calendar. And as with the other five feasts preceding it, this feast is no different in that. It is no different in that it points to the Messiah, specifically the atoning death of Messiah for the sins of the nation of Israel and for the world. The Feast of Atonement, really the Day of Atonement, because on this day repentance and remorse for sin was called for by the nation of Israel. So it was not necessarily a time of festive celebration, but of solemnity, repentance, and seeking the Lord and asking for His forgiveness, which was offered through the shed blood of atonement. The idea of atonement in Torah carries the belief that in order for the sinner to be forgiven, an innocent substitute must be sacrificed in his place to bear the guilt of the sins for the one being atoned for. That is the crux, the sine qua non of Yom Kippur. Continuing our study of this feast, we discover that the Day of Atonement, according to Leviticus 23, verses 27 through 32, was to be a day of holy convocation wherein no labor, work, or servile activity was to be conducted. It was a Sabbath day, a day when Israel must cease from their own activity and labor and rest in God's provision of atonement for their sins. For only in that divine provision was salvation and forgiveness of sins provided, accomplished, and received. A truth that transcends the Old Covenant and the Old Testament period. And this truth was reinforced and fully realized with the atonement of Jesus the Messiah. It is in His atonement now alone that we find forgiveness of sins from God and salvation from the guilt and punitive penalty of those sins. Only in Jesus Christ's shed blood and His atoning death on the cross can the sinner, whether he be Jew or Gentile, whether she be Jew or Gentile, can find forgiveness and salvation. And not in any other religious worldview, work, or ritual. Only through the death of Messiah Jesus can we approach God in an acceptable fashion. Anyone who seeks to supervene or supplant that will be struck down by God's judgment. Just as on the Day of Atonement, if the high priest did not bring the blood of the sacrifice approved and ordained by God, he would have been rejected and the nation of Israel judged for their sins. We praise God that today we have a fount of cleansing where atonement was made and offered not only to Israel, but is offered and made for the whole world. God now invites all peoples everywhere in every nation to come to the brow of Calvary and receive final atonement, of which Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, adumbrates and foreshadows in Leviticus 23 in the Old Testament. So, the Day of Atonement, we learn from Leviticus 23, was a day of holy convocation. It was also a day of fasting, a 24-hour period of fasting, which comprises one full day. Now, the idea of fasting, of course, is not given in the commands for carrying out the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 23. It simply says that God simply says to Israel, they shall be afflicted in soul. In rabbinic tradition, typically views this to include fasting. So this was a fast day in Israel. To afflict one's soul was to deprive the body of food for one full day and focus. You were to look in and focus on your guilt before God as a law-breaking sinner, and to trust that in spite of your guilt, God would make a way so that your guilt could be pardoned and forgiven. But before doing that, you had to do an inward audit of your life and realize that you fall short of God's perfect standard as reflected in Torah, the law, which no man can perfectly keep. I've yet to meet anyone who has obeyed all 613 commandments, all 613 commandments of the Torah. And keep in mind that obedience is not only external with one's body, but it called for obedience in the mind and in the heart with the motives and intents. And the law was perfect, but we were imperfect and sold under sin. Hence, God provided an atonement so that we could be pardoned and forgiven for breaking His law. Fasting, then, was called for in the affliction of the soul for the Day of Atonement. It was to buffet the flesh. Fasting is the spiritual discipline that seeks to subject the bodily appetites to the greater need of the spirit. And the greatest need of the human spirit is to find forgiveness with God, reconnect with Him in a personal relationship so that soul, that person, can live forever. And the atonement of sacrifice, the shedding of blood, paved the way for that. On an annual and temporary basis in the Old Covenant under the Day of Atonement. But in the New Testament, through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have eternal life and permanent and eternal fellowship with God. Forgiveness being secured, not annually, but the moment we trust in Christ, the forgiveness of sins covered and removed from us is a permanent and forever thing. This shows both at the same time the comparisons and contrasts between Yom Kippur in the Old Covenant or under the Old Covenant and its messianic fulfillment in Messiah Jesus under the New Covenant. The Lord called for Israel on the Day of Atonement to afflict their souls. Why? Because affliction of the person, affliction of the soul, is a means whereby God allows and uses to draw men unto Himself. We discover this throughout Scripture, specifically Psalm 119, 67, and 71. To be afflicted is to recognize that you are in need, you're broken, and you need to be made whole and healed. The hole in your life must be filled, and therefore you must be fulfilled. And the only means of remedy for this affliction is, of course, the Lord's sacrifice, which brings the Lord's atoning sacrifice, which brings in its redemptive wake forgiveness, reconciliation, and satisfying fellowship. Those who refused to afflict their souls, according to Leviticus 23:30, those who refused to afflict their souls would be cut off from the Lord's people. They would be cut off from the community of Israel. This soul affliction also entails repentance, teshuvah, to turn, as the Hebrew word literally means. It's an act as well as a mindset to realize that you've sinned against God, and therefore, because of that sin, you are worthy of death and condemnation. And your soul seeks to turn from those sins and turn to the God who forgives and heals. That also, that idea and attitude is also resident within the idea of soul affliction for the Day of Atonement. God wants us to walk in His forgiveness now as New Covenant believers, who, having received the fulfillment of Yom Kippur in the final and forever atonement of Yeshua HaMashiach, but we must come to Him with the affliction of repentance. Jesus warned His audience, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. When in the last chapter of the book of Luke, when He gave the church the Great Commission, they were to preach repentance and remission of sins to all nations, all the Gentile nations. But first they would start proclaiming that message in Israel. So repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ go hand in hand. Repentance is not a work or a separate act from faith that merits salvation. Let me be clear on that. No, repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. A person who exhibits saving faith, therefore, in the Lord Jesus Christ will repent. And vice versa, those who repent will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when one experiences Yom Kippur through its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, he will repent, as John the Baptist demands, and turn to the Lord Jesus for salvation. The Scripture also tells us that Yom Kippur was to be celebrated at a certain time of year in a certain month of the Jewish calendar. That is given in Leviticus 23:27. It was to be observed, that is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, was to be observed on the 10th day of the 7th month. Again, biblical numerology is a valid study in the course of Christian theology and Bible theology. So these numbers are not given by accident in the Scriptures. I was talking to a friend today, and he told me that there is no such thing as random numbers, and he is a degreed physicist who is a strong Bible-believing, born-again Christian. He says there is no such thing as random numbers. Numbers were created by God, discovered by man, and they serve in a variety, in an endless variety of ways. And the occurrence of numbers in the Bible is no exception. These are not random numbers. There is a meaning and significance behind each one of them. The significance of numbers in Scripture is also evident here with the Day of Atonement, when it took place on the 10th day of the 7th month. It was on this day, the 7th month, on the 10th day, the Day of Atonement, that brought all the nation of Israel together at the door of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and later the outer door of the temple, which would be the court of priests. You had the court of Israel, then the court of priests, which only the Kohanim, the Levitical priests, could enter into. So the nation of Israel would gather at the court of Israel. And there the priests would go in, and the high priest from the Kohanim would then go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim and make atonement for the sins of himself, the priests, and the nation of Israel on the Day of Atonement. And it was to take place on the 10th day of the 7th month. 7 is, in Scripture, the number of completion, perfection, and fulfillment of a plan of God's plan and purpose. 7 is the number of divine completeness, perfection, and fulfillment of God's plan and purpose. So the 7th month, Yom Kippur, completed the festival cycle or calendar, the feasts of the Lord. Because, and that's true even though Tabernacles follows Yom Kippur. They both occurred in the 7th month of the Jewish calendar. So, this was a completion every year of the Feast of the Lord. 7 also is the number of rest, which comes from completing a work. So this month brought Israel rest in the Lord's provision to provide an atonement for their sins. Translation into New Testament truth is obvious here. We, you and I, the believer in Christ, must rest in the atonement of Christ for the sacrifice of our sins, bringing us salvation. God's plan of salvation was perfected, completed, and fulfilled for all time in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection that occurred afterward, the resurrection of Jesus, was God's vindication of who Christ was, God and the Son of God, and His mission to atone for the sins of the world. The resurrection of Christ was God's yes to His atonement for our sins. So you and I should never doubt, the moment we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you and I should never doubt that His death in and of itself alone is sufficient to cleanse us from all sin, past, present, and future. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin and makes us pure and perfect in God's sight the moment we believe on Jesus Christ, because it is His work and His person that does the perfecting. There is no need for going to a place after this life when you die to be purged of your sins, as the Roman Catholics have erroneously created with their idea of purgatory, where one must go to suffer and to be purged of his remaining sins. No, the blood of Jesus Christ does that. Christ Jesus purged us from all sin and has sat down next to the majesty on high in heaven, Hebrews 1. So there's no need for further cleansing from sin to save us. Although we do sin daily and we need to be cleansed daily. But that cleansing is a continuation of Christ's perfect sacrifice, which has cleansed us from all sin and continues to cleanse us from daily sins after we are saved. I hope that is plain to my audience. Then we have the number 10. The number 10 in Scripture. Yom Kippur was to be celebrated in the 7th month on the 10th day. What does the number 10 in Scripture signify? Well, 10 is the number of testing, trial, and law. Obviously, the Ten Commandments come to mind here. 10 is the number of responsibility before the Lord. We have the days, in Judaism there is the 10 days of awe. The 10 days of awe. that exist between, I believe, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There's a period there called the 10 days of awe. It is traditional at this time of the 10 days of awe among those in the Jewish community to greet one another with the Hebrew blessing, Lashana Tova Tikatevu. What does that Hebrew greeting mean? It means, may you be inscribed in the book of life for a good year. And the response back is, Gam Lecha. Gam Lecha, which means same to you. Notice here, may you be inscribed in the book of life. God has several books. He has the book of remembrance. He has the book of life. And He has the book of works, from which all the wicked undead who are raised will be judged by at the great white throne judgment. But here, the wish is, Lashana Tova Tichatevu, may you be inscribed in the book of life. And this wish, of course, is associated with Yom Kippur. In the New Testament, you and I are indeed, our names have been inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. The moment we accept Jesus Christ as the one who paid the penalty for our sins, died for us and was raised again. And upon that basis, we have forgiveness and acceptance with God. When we do that, He inscribes our names in the Book of Life with indelible ink, even with the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The 10 days of awe, or the 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are days in which Israel spends in repentance and a period of time where they are to turn completely to the Lord in order to be inscribed into the Book of Life. And so it was with this attitude of repentance that they were to approach Yom Kippur. Now, the ceremonial requirements for carrying out the Day of Atonement are spelled out in great detail, I should say, in Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16. And here in this chapter we have God's primary insistence upon atonement throughout this chapter. In Leviticus 16, the word Kippur, atonement, occurs over and over again. And we've briefly before discussed with you the idea of atonement means to cover the sins. Here it would be the sins of Israel every year. And of course, this forgiveness would have to be renewed every year with the goat sacrifice on Yom Kippur. And these sacrifices offered on Yom Kippur, of course, anticipated and previewed, praise the Lord, the once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, which has now provided a permanent covering for sin, but greater than just a covering, a full removal and erasure of that sin. Praise the Lord. Through the blood of Christ, our sins that we have committed before we came to the Lord, and yes, even after we come to Him, are removed, and the Lord chooses to remember them no more because He sees over our lives the blood of Jesus Christ applied, our Messiah of final Kippur, final atonement. Praise God. So when we look at the atonement of Yom Kippur in the Old Testament. Remember that it pictures, anticipates, and points to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which permanent atonement is now freely offered and given to those who by faith accept God's gift of atonement through the cross of Christ. Amen. When we come to Leviticus 16, we also see that here in this chapter, the Lord gives intricate details of the ceremonies which were to be carried out on Yom Kippur. And again, the messianic typology, the prophetic fulfillment of this Day of Atonement in the work of Christ cannot be overemphasized. The Lord Jesus came to what? To be an atonement for our sins. He is our Yom Kippur for Israel and for the whole world. Yom Kippur begins with the ministry of intercession. Leviticus 16, 1 and 2. The Lord instructs Moses. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, or Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. So they could not just come in there any time. Remember Aaron's sons. I believe the account is given in Leviticus 10, 1 and 2. They went in there presumptuously and offered strange incense. That is, incense that was not according to the prescribed ingredients given by the Lord. And what happened? They were struck down. Nadab and Abihu, they were struck down for offering profane fire. And this shows us at the same time that we must come to God, we must come into His presence, into the Holy of Holies, on His requirements, or according to what He stipulates, not according to what we deem is godly or accepted by God, but according to what God requires. Any church, any ministry that is based on a personality and based on one's own self-imposed religious opinions will in the end perish. Any ministry built upon the Lord Jesus Christ must be built upon the veracity of God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. And so we are not to offer strange doctrines or customs into God's revelation of how we should approach Him, which He has in His condescending grace given to us through the Scriptures. So Leviticus 16, 1 and 2 tells us that the first act on the Day of Atonement was one of intercession before the Lord. The Lord told them to enter into the Holy of Holies in an appropriate manner. And we must follow their examples. And before the ministry of intercession was done, through the golden censer carrying the incense, carried by the priest into the Holy of Holies, the priest had to be dressed in the appropriate garments, and he was to cleanse himself with water, verses 3 and 4. This, again, carries great significance in its spiritual symbolism. Well, I see that I'm out of time. Until next time, God bless. Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach, Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.